This is Beat the Clock Sports Talk with your host Anthony the Ant-Man Fellows.
Bryant dribbling, has to put it up at the buzzer, banks it in! Oh, he banks in the three!
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Beat the Clock Sports Talk. I am your host, Anthony the Ant-Man Felly. Got a great show in store tonight, today, this morning, however you may be listening, wherever you're listening from. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Festivus for all the rest of us. Nod to all you Seinfeld fans out there. The new year is almost upon us. 2022 is on its way out. 2023 on its way in. Hope that 23 has all the best in store for all of you. Just want to make a quick mention for the 2023 slate for Beat the Clock. I'm super excited about kind of doing almost like a relaunch. Got a lot of big things planned. We'll bring back some of the familiar faces. I'm so thankful, though, heading out of 2022 for all of you out there who listen, anybody who's participated, and also for all the guests who've come on and shared knowledge and their love for basketball and all things related to the NBA, WNBA, all that sort. Real quick, just want to make a quick mention. Beat the Clock is solely sponsored by all of you, so thank you for your support. Go on and hit that subscribe button, turn on those notifications so you never miss when a new episode drops. Click the links in the show description so you get the webpage and find all the social media links there. Feel free to leave reviews and rate the show. Want to know how you feel about the show? So without further ado, let's get the show started. Let's talk some basketball. Let's go. Let's go. All right. The weekend was huge. There's been some games since Sunday, since Christmas Day. But I just want to talk today about the Christmas Day slate because I have some thoughts on it. Some games played on Monday. It's currently Tuesday. There's games going on right now. We'll cover those in the next episode later this week. But I just want to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly from the Christmas Day games. Let's start with the bad. The bad. Klay getting teed up for taunting Dylan Brooks after knocking down a three. Now, it was hilarious, I must say. I've watched the clip several times. But here's my thoughts on it. The games between the two teams are chippy as hell, to say the least. It's no surprise that there are six technicals called on just the Warriors. And two going to Jordan Poole. I'm not going to get too into those. I mean, just arguing with the refs. In my opinion, the referees have been terribly soft. Situations where they shouldn't be. And a little too aggressive to blow the whistle. In other instances where they should probably relax and let the game play, let the emotions of the game happen. But nonetheless, Jordan Poole gets ejected. I would just say this. I expect a very physical and contentious playoff series between these two Western Conference foes. I mean, if they get Curry back, get Wiggins back, it's just really all any NBA fan really wants for Christmas, right? A playoff series between these two teams. Having said that, staying with the Warriors and Grizz, what a disappointment for the Grizz not being able to take out the Stephless Golden State team. They don't have Wiggins, like I mentioned. Now, any team can beat any team on any given night. If this was football, we would use the saying, any given Sunday. Great movie, too. But considering the complete shellacking that the Grizz took, I mean, the way that they just were manhandled by Golden State, I can't help but feel that they really missed a good opportunity. And I would bet if I were a fly on the wall in that locker room after that game, all of the Memphis Grizzly team, from the towel boys all the way up to the ownership, should feel that too. Staying with the bad, the Knicks, the New York Knicks. Need I say more? The Knicks pretty much controlled the game for about a quarter and a half before letting Philly go on their little first half run. That run ended up getting them within three going into the half. But with the Knicks, no lead is safe because they went up early by as much as 14. Just in the first half, Julius Randle had 25 points. Barrett had 11. Brunson chipped in with 10. On Philly's side, Embiid had 16. Harden had 11. And Melton, out of nowhere, had 12. Now, Philly makes a run. Probably started around the last 8 minutes of the second quarter. Coming back from 14-point deficit. Tobias Harris led all rebounders with 6 in the first half. This really was a tale of 2 halves, I would say. The Knicks doing most of their damage, winning the points in the paint 30-16, then only shooting 47% from the field. 76ers used 51% from the field, 52% three-point shooting toward the end of the second quarter to get back into the game. Just some stats for you, just give some context to this. Some other notables for the second half. Sixers won the second and third quarters 35-26 and 35-33. Sixers take a 101-98 lead with 10:47 left in the fourth. So I asked a question. Considering all of this, Randle finished the game 35 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Barrett, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. And Brunson chips in with 23 points, 11 assists. Embiid finished with 35 points, 8 rebounds. Harden with 29, 13 assists. 4 steals and 3 rebounds as well. Harden didn't have a terrible game. And Melton, 15 big points. So here's the question. Did the Knicks blow this game or did Philly win it? It's so subjective. In my opinion, I think that the Knicks blew it. I don't really have an explanation for it. Just based on what I saw. They had every opportunity to hold off the 76ers, and they stopped doing what was working. And we'll talk about another team who falls into this same trap. But get away from winning basketball. Regardless, the Knicks are currently sitting in the sixth seed in the East by the slimmest of margins. I don't know. I don't see them making the playoffs. They just look like a team that can't decide if they want to compete with this current and capable roster or enter a complete rebuild. Not much more expected from this once-storied franchise under the Dolan regime. Now, that may sound like I wrote it, or I'm reading it, and I am reading it because I wrote it. That's exactly what I wrote, and I just want to say verbatim exactly what I wrote. The 76ers, on the other hand, they went on an 8-game winning streak. They still have some upside because they are still waiting for Tyrone Maxey to come back. And, you know, they'll be a reasonable force in the Eastern Conference for sure. The only team or upside that I saw after yesterday's game, and I'll touch on it real quick, not to dive too deep, but you got to watch Brooklyn because they have somehow found a way to resurrect themselves from the complete chaos and clown show of their offseason and start to the year. And they are now sitting third in the East, I believe. So 76ers, you know, they've got some work to do. They want to stay in the top 5, top 6 for sure. All right, moving on to the ugly. As promised, the LA Lakers. Again, need I say more? Well, I will. Because the Lakers started out hobbled. No AD. And an aging LeBron James. Same old story. It's almost like we've seen this script before. That is the usual and has been the usual for the purple and gold, I must say, being a diehard Laker fan. After a very poor shooting half, again, based on the eye test by both teams, the Lakers did sneak into the locker room at halftime with an 11-point advantage. And then third quarter happened. Now, just to give you some context. In third quarters, couldn't believe this stat when I saw it. Third quarter margin for this year. Over the last three games, the Lakers are minus 17. Minus 17 in third quarters in the last three games. They're abysmal in third quarters and have been for the past two seasons. I don't know why. I can't explain it. They can't explain it. Vogel tried. Darvin Ham can't figure it out. This is what it is. The story of this game really is the third quarter. Lakers come out with an 11-point lead and in less than 7 minutes are down by 11 points. The Mavericks had a 51-point third quarter, beating the Lakers by a 30-point margin in that quarter alone. It's atrocious. It's atrocious. And I wish that I could sit here and celebrate, you know, LeBron got another longevity accolade, becoming the single player with the most Christmas Day appearances, taking out Kobe Bryant, the late great legend, Kobe Bryant, by one game. And we're not talking about that. We're not talking about LeBron James putting up 38 points in year 20. We're not talking about Austin Reeves having 16 coming up big. We're talking about the Lakers as a complete unit gave up 51 points in the third quarter and lost that quarter by 30. The game was so bad, and just this is so indicative of how this year has gone. Darvin Ham, at some point in the fourth quarter, resorted to putting five guards on the floor to contend with Dallas's two bigs, Christian Wood and Dwight Powell, who are basically 2 7-footers in their own right, leaving the center duty to 6'5 Austin Reeves and 6'3 Russell Westbrook with no real explanation. No real explanation for that decision. Except for, I just wanted to throw everything at the wall to see what sticks. I'm paraphrasing that. Not sure if that's exactly what he said. Basically what he said. I'm sitting here seeing this thinking, I hope that this is Darvin Ham's version of sticking a big middle finger to Rob Pelinka and the rest of that front office for this atrocity of a roster. I don't know. I once said that last year, at some point, it seemed like Vogel was taking the kamikaze route because he would start playing LeBron James at the five. He'd start playing Carmelo Anthony at the five. And I believe I was right. I believe in that instance, I was right. Nobody has ever come out and said, I'm sure later on, after a couple years have passed and Vogel can speak freely, I'm sure there'll be some sort of telltale about what went on during last season or his last season with the Los Angeles Lakers. This really did seem, and I hope that this was Darvin Ham, his version of sticking the big middle finger to the front office. But that is it for the ugly. I mean, what else can I put? The other thing that was ugly was Luka was playing with five fouls with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. In several offensive possessions, the Lakers did not attack Luka and make him play defense. They did not force him to play defense and potentially foul him out. At one point in the fourth, the Lakers got back within 10. And Luka's playing with five fouls. You get Luka out, maybe you have an opportunity to make a run. And this is just not the way the NBA game is played these days. I don't understand it. But it's frustrating as an NBA fan, of someone who's watched the game through three phases, or three eras, maybe is a better way to put it, of the game. And watch possession after possession, an offensive team not put a defensive player with five fouls in jeopardy of getting the sixth foul. I don't understand it. Regardless, Doncic, like I said, finished with 32 points, 9 assists, 9 rebounds. Christian Wood, 30 points, 7 assists, 8 rebounds. And Hardaway Jr. came up big after a poor first half with 26 points and 6 rebounds. The Mavericks on the day, congratulations to the great Dirk Nowitzki on the day they unveil his statue, completely annihilate the Los Angeles Lakers. Kudos to them. The highlight of the day became that little tribute to Dirk. All right, let's talk about the good. Gotta wash this taste out of my mouth. Really, just a couple things. Boston handles business versus the Milwaukee Bucks with no Chris Middleton. That's important. That is an important thing to mention, because at the end of the day, all NBA fans, just pure fans of the game who just love watching competitive basketball at the highest level, want to see a fully healthy Boston Celtics team play a fully healthy Milwaukee Bucks team in a 7-game series. You know, we want stakes on the line. The Celtics pretty much dominate this game. They're very evenly matched teams. You know, the eye test will tell you that. In the first half, Tatum had 19 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Brown, 15 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist. And Brogdon, 7 points. And Smart chipped in with 2 points, but 6 assists. I have to say this about Marcus Smart. I believed after last year's finals loss that the Celtics went into the offseason looking to get a quote-unquote real point guard. And so they did. They went out and got Malcolm Brogdon. I thought that that won them the offseason, that move alone, because it did two things. It beefed up their already very stout defense, and it gave them a true point guard to facilitate and run the offense. To my surprise, and probably everybody else who's really watched basketball this year, I have to say, Marcus Smart is looking now more like a true point guard than he has in his entire NBA career. And it's been a short career. I don't mean that as a slight. I mean that it is noticeable that he continues to evolve his game and do what he needs to do to help his team win ball games. 6 assists in the first half. Celtics go into the half with a 62-61 lead, despite shooting only 50% from the field, while the Bucks shot 58%. Again, Bucks went on a late run. Basketball is a game of runs. They go on a late run in the second half and close the margin. Celtics also shot 44% from 3-point, which helped make up the difference in the field goal percentage shooting. Bucks obviously not shooting very well from three without their number one 3-point shooter, Chris Middleton, as stated before. They shot only 29% from 3-point line. And again, just leaving a glaring hole there with Chris Middleton being out. Chris Middleton still being out. Second half was much of the same. Very physical game, very competitive game for the most part. But Tatum finished with 41 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Brown chipped in with 29, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. And Derek White had a pretty good second half, putting up 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 5 assists. Giannis finished the game with 27 points, 9 rebounds. Lopez, 16 points, 5 rebounds. And Holiday chipped in with 23 points and 6 rebounds. Also high on the assist board with 7 dimes. Boston seized control very early in the third quarter and never really looked back. They beat the Bucks 139 to 118. A few notables. Bobby Portis. I love that guy. I think he's a fan favorite. He could be on any team and people would root for him. He grabbed 9 boards for the game. Al Horford chipped in with 11 points, 4 rebounds for Boston. Also, Greg Williams added 12 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. Greg Williams, well, let's just say this. This is what makes the Celtics so dangerous, is they have so many weapons. Tatum scored 41 points and didn't need 41 to win because he got 11 from Al Horford and 12 from Greg Williams. 12 from Derek White. As much as I can't stand harping over this, Boston continues to be the team to beat in the East. And I don't see anybody who's really even that close to them right now. Maybe a healthy Bucks. We'll see if the Nets are just on a hot streak right now and if they fade off or if they can continue the run that they're on. I don't think Philly's got enough firepower to hang with Boston. I just think Boston is kind of setting themselves apart. And I would say come All-Star break, I wouldn't be surprised if they had as much as a 6-8 game lead over the second seed team, whoever that might be at that time. I also have Tatum as MVP front runner. You know, we're about to talk about Nikola Jokic, but I just have to get that out there. Despite what I'm about to cover with what Nikola Jokic did, it's just one game. Tatum continues to string games together, lead his team. I believe he is the league's most valuable player at this point. That might be a semi-unpopular opinion, but that's my opinion. Moving on. Next, for the good. As I mentioned, Nikola Jokic dominates the Suns, finishing with 41 points, 15 rebounds, 15 assists. He also set a few records. He scored the most points in Nuggets franchise Christmas Day history. He became the only player to record a 40-15 and 15 game on Christmas Day. And the closest, here's one to talk about around the water cooler. Here's a little trivia you could give your boys, your friends around the water cooler. The next closest to achieve that was Oscar Robinson in 1961. Oscar only falling short by 3 assists. Jokic also became the only player to record a triple-double on Christmas Day on 60% shooting from the field. Needless to say, the Joker had himself a day and once again got all the MVP voters salivating to cast their own votes in his favor. We're only in December. I don't know. Like I said, y'all heard my pick. It's Jason Tatum right now. Here we are almost halfway through the schedule. The Nuggets needed overtime to beat the Suns 128-125. One more thing I want to mention in the good, the bad, the ugly. A quick side note on the Suns-Nuggets game. Without any argument whatsoever, the Phoenix Suns jerseys belong in the ugly category. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, what the hell is up with the blue jerseys? I don't know. Some of those City Edition jerseys this year have been a little head-scratching, but this blue jersey that they decide to wear, they're out there looking like the Grant Hill Pistons, And I said blue. I think it's more like a teal. Color is subjective. You tell me what you think. I'm happy to hear it. All I know is that definitely belong in the ugly category in this segment. But that is it. That wraps up the good, the bad, and the ugly. No interview on this show. Like I said, it's a solo show. It's going to be a quick show. Just a quick mention. The WNBA has expanded their schedule from 36 to 40 games, which is incredible. You know, for anybody out there naysaying and talking a lot of noise about the WNBA is a failing league and they're not progressing. They are progressing. They're finding ways to get themselves into a market, and hopefully that helps them become profitable. I want to see that league succeed. As a father of a young lady myself, I want her to have female role models to look up to, just like I had the Michael Jordans, the Muhammad Ali's, the Cal Ripken's, and the Kobe Bryant's of the world. Little girls deserve that. And so I'm happy to see this progression in this league. I look forward to covering more WNBA as we move into the new year. One of the many great things coming in 2023. So look out for that. The draft is coming up. We'll cover a little bit more of that. Keep an eye on the social media. Go on and hit the subscribe button. Turn on those notifications so you never miss when new episodes drop. Click the link in the show description to get the webpage and to find all the social media links. Feel free to leave reviews and rate the show. I always want to know how y'all feel and what y'all think about the show. Anything you want me to talk about, any comments or topics that you'd like to engage with me on, it's all there. Just find the website in the show description. Click on the links to social media. Follow, like, subscribe. That is all for this episode. Thank you for listening. I am the Ant-Man. This is Beat the Clock. So long.